a lot of pressure on us. All I know is do what God puts on my heart. And you can't produce results. Even though we sometimes want to see results, you can't produce them. You just have to trust the Lord. And so I want to look at this scripture tonight and bring out a thought that God put on my heart. And I want to try to be sensitive to Him. And I want to be pleasing to the Lord. Amen. And I mean that in the depths of my heart. I'm very driven about being sensitive to Him. And you just pray God to help us tonight. If we're physically able, we'll stand. If we're able, and the reading of God's Word. And we'll look at this in Ephesians chapter number 4. And I just want to read the last three verses, a very familiar passage of Scripture. And most of y'all know these Scriptures. I want to look at this and bring out the thought that God's put upon my heart. The Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Very powerful scripture. Amen. Amen. I trust you'll pray with us and for us as we pray. Lord, I thank you for the privilege it is to be here again tonight. Thank you, God, for everything that, Lord, you've done for us. Lord, we sure don't deserve it. God, we just ask you, God, now as we bow in your presence, God, that you'd please liberate this service, God, for Christ's sake. God, you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I pray, God, for that liberty, God, to be manifested tonight. I pray, God, that your will be done. God, you'd help those that are saved, and God, you'd help those that are lost. And God, you'd meet the need of every heart and every life, God, in this building. And I pray, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'd make preaching easy tonight. God, you'd let everything flow. God, we'd just be a vessel. Lord, I feel so helpless, I feel so weak, I feel so tired tonight. God, I don't feel like I got anything to offer you. But God, we've come here tonight, God, because we simply love you. We want to be a blessing to your people. And I pray, oh God, that you'd enable us to do the supernatural. God, you'd honor the call, Lord, you placed upon our life. God, give these people what they stand in need of. In this church, God. And I pray, God, that your will would be done. We love you and thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Amen. I want to look at this scripture tonight and just thank you for letting us preach what God puts on our heart. Amen. I'm glad I don't feel no strings attached. Amen. And I appreciate that from the depths of my heart. I want to look at this scripture, and I know when you look at this, most time people think, well, you're going to preach on grieving the Holy Spirit. And the Lord gave me this message a while back, and we dealt with it at the church, and really feel like God wants us to look at it tonight for this service. But there's some things in this scripture that God began to point out to me that I feel like God wants us to point out tonight in this passage and in this service. Now, as I look at this, we know, and you can't help to deal with this without mentioning a little bit about what it is to grieve the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if there's anything that fears me, that is grieving God's Holy Spirit. Because everything we do and everything we know about church, everything revolves around the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And without Him, amen, where would we be? Amen. And so it's very imperative that we understand the importance of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. That word grieve, of course, you know, means to make sorrowful. It means to affect with sadness, to cause grief, to throw into sorrow. It means to make sad or to cause one to mourn. born. And when the Holy Ghost gets grieved, many times business slows down. Amen. Amen. It means to give pain to the mind or the wound, the feelings of God. Amen. Much of the spirit of God's grief derives from the unmindfulness of the things of the spirit. The disregarding of the Spirit's dictates and making no use of Him. Amen. The disregarding of the Spirit's dictates and making no use of Him, resulting in the Spirit being grieved, and it appears by His departure, which is perceived by the darkness of one's soul and the prevailing of corruption. Amen. Amen. If there's anything that is penetrating our day and hour, it is the grieving of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. His power, His influence to be able to touch us and to help us. Amen. Now God says, He said in verse 31, He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Amen. Now I'm not going to deal with what those individual things mean, but I'm just going to look at this evening.
Bless you,
amen. Amen. You pray for our voice. It locks up sometimes. Amen. Amen. And we're going to look at what God has put upon my heart. But God really dealt with me about something out of this passage of Scripture where it said, be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And I want to look at that. And God began to deal with me about this. And there's four things that God showed me out of this scripture. Amen. That you and I should practice. Amen. To combat the grieving of the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to preach on this thought on four things that will change your life. Amen. On four things that will change your life. Now I know these things are elementary, but sometimes we just need to go back to some of the basic things. Amen, and get those things in order. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, chapter number 4 and verse number 20, he said, but you have not so learned Christ, amen. And he's talking about those Gentiles, amen, that walked in the vanity of their mind. He said, you've not so learned Christ. They had not so learned Christ in the uncleanness and the greediness and the lasciviousness of their own heart, amen. And so God begins in the book of Ephesians to teach us some characteristics of the Holy Spirit that would combat against the works of the flesh. Amen. And he goes down there and talks about that we put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Amen. And he deals with that. He goes on down and he says many things. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Amen. Now, as I think about that, there's three things in verse number 32 that I would think about out of this passage of Scripture. He said, and be you kind one to another. Amen. One of the first things the Holy Spirit points out to us out of the Scripture is that we should have kindness in our hearts. Amen. 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 It means to bring, and you study that word, and be ye kind one to another. That is a word. The word be there is a word of creation. Amen. And what it does is a word that we have the power and the ability to bring into existence these things that are before us. Amen. And so the only reason there's kindness on the earth is because somebody chooses to be kind. Amen. The only reason it's here is because somebody knows what Christ is like and knows what He is, and they began to portray a characteristic of God Himself. Amen. And that's being kind. Amen. And so it has the ability to be able to bring into existence. Amen. Now this word kindness, it means to be useful. Amen. That's what Strong says about the word kindness. It means to be useful. And when you and I do what the Holy Spirit says to do and be kind, it makes us useful upon this planet. Amen. Amen. Unkindness makes a man unuseful. And so kindness makes a man where he's useful. It also means disposed to do good to others and to make them happy. Amen.
Amen.
You think about everything that's going on down there in Texas. Amen. Everything that they're doing is an act of kindness. Amen. To make people feel better in the midst of their turmoil, in the midst of their trials. Amen. But God wants us to have some kindness in our lives. It'll change your life if you learn to be kind. Amen. Amen. May I say to us that, but we're living in a very unkind generation. Amen. People are mean. People are cold-hearted. We live in a dog-eat-dog society. Amen. We live in a society that only does best for what they, amen. They only do what is best for themselves. Amen. They don't think about others. All they think about is what's best for them. Amen. We're to esteem others higher than ourselves. Amen. So we're to be kind one to another. Then look what the Bible says. He said, and be you kind one another. Then he said, to be tenderhearted. Amen. We're to be tenderhearted. Amen. We're not to be hard-hearted. We're to be tenderhearted. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you what happens to us. Life has a way of making us hard-hearted. And it causes us to get to the point that nothing touches us. And nothing bothers us. And nothing affects us. And nothing moves us. Nothing stirs us. Amen. Nothing pushes us. Because we can become so hard-hearted. Amen. That nothing moves us. Amen. If you're not careful, what people do to you will cause you to get hard-hearted. If you're not careful, what life does to you will cause you to get hard-hearted. Amen. But I tell you what God wants us to do. He wants us to go through the trials of life, understand that God knows what he's doing, and keep a tender heart and a tender spirit. Amen. That we can be able to help others along life's journey. Amen. It's a characteristic of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. To be tender-hearted. Amen. That's what God desires us to be, is to be tenderhearted. Amen. This tenderhearted deals with having a great sensibility and susceptible to impressions or influences. Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Amen. When we lose our tenderness, the Holy Spirit, and amen, he gets to the point that the Holy Spirit cannot help us and do for us, amen, what he normally could do when we were sensible to what he said. Amen. 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 Boy, we need to be tender.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Then number three, not only should we be filled with kindness and tenderness, amen. The third one, look what the Bible says, forgiving one another.
Amen.
Amen. That's that unpardonable subject that we don't want to hear of. Amen. Amen. That we should forgive one another. Amen. You say, how do I forgive them? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Amen. If there's anything that we should bring into the equation, it is the fact that we should look at what God's forgave us of. Amen. That is what brings into the heart where we can learn to forgive. Amen. 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 My heart is really stirred tonight to challenge us. Amen. You say, why should I do that? The whole context of Ephesians chapter number 4 is where we not walk not in the vanity of our mind and lasciviousness and greediness. Amen. Amen. We have to learn Christ. Amen. We're to put on this new man. Amen. You put on something because you choose to do it. And I'm telling you something. When we decide to be filled with kindness and tenderness and forgiveness, it is something that'll change our life. Amen. Most people I know are bitter and angry, have things in their heart, have things in their life that they just won't let go of. Amen. I'm telling you something, whether we want to face it or not, no matter how much we think we pray, no matter how much we read our Bible, no matter how much what we do, those things grieve the Holy Ghost of God. They hinder him. He's touchy. He's like a small white dove that's easily scared away. Amen. We should have kindness and tenderness and forgiveness in our heart. Amen. 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 Boy, a lot of churches has turned into a wrestling ring anymore. And that's the truth, amen. It's a sad day and hour, amen. We have no other place to go, amen, than to the house of God to get away from all that stuff, amen. We come here to a place of solace, a place of kindness, a place of tenderness, and a place of forgiveness where we can rest our soul in the presence and the characteristics of the God of heaven, amen. God wants us to have forgiveness, amen. But we need to forgive one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Amen, amen. Boy, you just pray for us, amen. One of my most favorite verses of Scripture is in Romans chapter number 12. I could quote this passage of Scripture, verse number 21. Amen, amen. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good, amen. Amen. You'll never go any worse in life until you learn to be kind, to be tenderhearted, and learn to forgive one another. And I'm telling you, I believe one of the most paralyzing things in our day and hour is the spirit of unforgiveness. We're going to have to find some forgiveness for our unforgiveness. You say, preacher, you don't know what they did to me. Now, I'm of the persuasion that what God does in our life, God can use it for His glory to make us more like Christ. Amen. It's not what people do to us that hurts us. It's the way we respond to what they do that hurts us, amen. Yes, somebody's got to be the spiritual one. Somebody's got to be the Christian. Somebody's got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Somebody's got to do the things that does not grieve Him, but those things that please Him, amen. And that is to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, had forgiven you, amen. Amen. Now, there's something that goes on in the mountains, and they've got this theory. They don't have to forgive anybody unless they ask for it. But now I don't believe like that, amen. Amen. The Bible says we're to forgive one another even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, did Jesus pay for the sin of the world? Yes, He did, amen. Does that mean the sins of the world are forgiven if they're accepted and asked for it? Yes, amen. And I believe that's the way it is with God, amen. I believe God expects us to forgive somebody even if they don't ever even ask us, amen. I believe that's a characteristic of Christ, amen. Amen, amen. They don't have to come and bow at my feet and beg for forgiveness. Amen. Thank God, because I'm a Christian, I should forgive them, amen. Amen. Unforgiveness never hurts them, but it always hurts us, amen. So, boy, that unforgiveness turns to bitterness and ends up being malice. And I'm not even getting into those characteristics there, but I'm telling you something, God wants us to have a heart of kindness, tenderness, and forgiveness, amen. Now, don't you look at something. I preached those three thoughts, and this is really where I want to get to tonight. Maybe I just have to talk. Amen, amen. 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 Can I have a commercial? Sometimes it's hard to have such a burning desire in your heart and not be able to deliver it and articulate it. That's a hard thing to do. Amen. But I'll give you everything I got. And I mean that. Depths of my heart. Got something burning on my heart. I'll do my best to get it to you. God wants us to be filled with kindness. Tenderness and forgiveness. I don't like this dog-eat-dog society. I hate the way our churches have got in this day and hour. So divided. I'm not talking about compromise. But I'm telling you something. Sometimes I look around and I say, where's God? God wants us to be filled with kindness and tenderness and forgiveness. But I tell you what God showed me out of this passage of Scripture. And he said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Only God wants us to have kindness and tenderness and forgiveness. But God backed me up again and showed me, son, there's something else you're missing there. His holiness.
Right.
And he said, be you kind. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So all these things in this passage of Scripture are unholy in verse number 31. They're unholy things. But in verse 32, those are holy things. So God is trying to give us a portrait and a picture of what is holy and what is unholy. Amen. Now, I'm not a holiness preacher, but I'm a preacher that believes in holiness. Amen. Amen. If there's anything that is, amen, degraded in our day and hour, it is the holiness of God. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God. Why did he want us to not grieve or quench the Holy Spirit? Number one, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Amen. He lives in us. God lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in our heart. Amen. How can we grieve the very influence of God that lives in us and teaches us and guides us? Amen. Well, those things, those characteristics that are not of God, they destroy that influence of the Holy Spirit. A man won't think right. He won't do right. He won't pray right. He won't perceive the Bible right. He won't perceive the preacher right. When the preacher preaches, he won't perceive it right because the influence of the Holy Spirit is grieved. The Holy Spirit of God lives in us. The Holy Spirit of God does not ever leave us. Sometimes we lose his influential powers because of grieving him. But I want to tell you tonight, the Holy Spirit of God never leaves us. Amen. We are sealed till the day of redemption. Amen. It's always reminded me that what I do, the Holy Spirit does. Where I go, he goes. What I watch, he watches. What I think, he's a seeing. Amen. It puts a fear of God in me. There's a holy God that goes wherever we go. Amen. 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 You just bear with me. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God does not leave you. Amen. He is interested in your personal interest. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God. Amen. He delights in us. He delights to live in us. Amen. He just wants us to pattern our lives after him and be influenced by the powers of the Holy Spirit to be more like Christ. Amen. Oh, God help us tonight. The Holy Spirit of God is capable of feeling. Amen. He's easily affected. He can feel things that we think we've got hidden. He can feel it. He feels it. Amen. Isn't it amazing how we know how to hide everything? It probably amazes us who's in here tonight. Amen. That boy, the Holy Spirit's already prodding their heart about things in their soul. Amen. And if they've been saved any length of time, they know that the Lord is not pleased with it. They know they've lost his influential powers. They know it's been a while since they prayed and God really touched them. Amen. When you lose those powers, you'll search far and wide. Amen. Till you can get your heart back to a place where the Holy Spirit can influence you. The Holy Spirit is a seal indicating that the transaction whereby the Son of God paid the penalty of human sin at the cross is a finished transaction. Amen. The fact that the Holy Spirit lives in us, knowing that we've been sealed in the day of redemption, amen, it is a seal of the transaction of God that God paid for us on Calvary, and he sealed it with his insignia that the Holy Ghost lives in us. Amen. God help us not to grieve the insignia of the Holy God of heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
Boy, I like that. And that we are owned by God through the right of purchase. Amen. 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 We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. You say, what kind of price did he pay? He paid the ultimate price, amen. He gave his life. He died for you and I, that we could be saved by his amazing grace, amen. I'm a purchased possession, amen. I'm not our own, amen. Amy, you are. You're a purchased possession, amen. God paid for you, amen. And he said, I'm going to put a seal on them, amen, that everybody will know that I bought them with my blood. Amen. And that's that Holy Spirit. Boy, when we grieve the Holy Spirit, that seal of purchase, amen, is grieved. Boy, the Holy Spirit is of immense value to us. If the Holy Spirit of God is grieved, the effect of his power is gone. Amen. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 talks about how the Holy Spirit come down. Amen. In power. Amen. They tarried at Jerusalem. They're endued with power from on high. Amen. Amen. I believe one of the greatest needs in our day and hour is people to get back to being sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Nobody has any power apart from God's power through the Holy Spirit's power. If the Holy Spirit of God is grieved, amen, the effect of his power is gone. Whatever is not fit for his presence is not fit for our heart, amen. Amen. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. But we've lived in a different day and hour than our forefathers lived in. It's so easy, amen, through the social media and everything else just to spill your guts out, amen. And say whatever you want, amen, amen, and just blast everybody you want. But I'm telling you something, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. If it's not fit for his heart, it's not fit for our heart, amen. Amen. Grieving is an individual basis. Amen. We walk and talk of the fact that God loves us. We speak of the fact that Christ loves us. But has it ever dawned on us that the Holy Spirit loves us? Amen. Right. Has it ever dawned on us, amen, okay, that the Holy Spirit loves us, amen? Christ dwells in our heart through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He who is a stranger to the Holy Spirit can know nothing of the love of God. This is one of the most beautiful pictures of the inner aches and sorrows of the Holy Spirit taken to heart over the one he loves as his own life, amen. Amen. This is a beautiful picture of how much Christ really loves us and is concerned with the condition that his people are in. Amen. 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 I know, amen, God laid this on our heart, and there's no doubt in my mind, amen, the Lord is wanting to help somebody tonight with something in your life that's grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. One who loves you cares about what you do. Let me ask you a question. Can the Holy Spirit suffer and experience pain to his loving heart? Yes. Yes, he can. He wants better things for us. Amen. These things disrupt human relationships and divine relationships. Amen. When the Holy Spirit is grieved and there's unforgiveness, it not only affects human relationships, it affects divine relationships. Amen. He is the Holy Spirit with a holy purpose. There is a moral shock suffered by society in leaving a permanent trauma to our culture. Amen. Amen. If you don't have the influence of the Holy Spirit, it is traumatic to the culture and traumatic to this day and hour. When we lose his influence, amen. Amen. Boy, I don't want to lose the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, do you? We're just going to plow right on, amen. Every man that discovers himself in the brilliance of holiness is confronted with the whiteness of God. Tell you something, I love that thought about the whiteness of God. Every man that discovers himself in the brilliance of holiness is confronted with the whiteness of God. Amen. Amen. I believe that's what the Holy Spirit wants us to realize. Amen. That the Holy Ghost is white, that he's pure, that he's holy. Amen. He wants us to realize that. Amen. We have learned to live with unholiness. and have come to look upon it as naturally man.
Right.
You see, people think holiness is unnatural. But I'm telling you something, amen, they think holiness is unnatural. But unholiness is what is unnatural, amen. God intended every man to live a holy lifestyle. Amen. So, and what I'm saying tonight, it is natural for a man to be holy. It's unnatural for a man not to want to be holy like God, amen. Unholiness is unnatural, amen. That's not the way God intended man to live, amen. He wants man to experience, amen, the powers of the Holy Spirit of God, amen. If a man grieves the Holy Spirit of God in his life, he's living below his birthrights because he's missing, amen, the influences of God. We have learned to live with unholiness. Unholiness is not natural. Natural is that which comprehends the works of God. Amen. Amen. That's what natural is, when a man understands what God desires a man to see in the holiness of God. The natural mind is blind to the holiness of God. That's why our society accepts everything, is because holiness is blindness in their eyes. I mean, they just don't see it, amen.
I'll tell it.
A new channel must be cut through the deserts of her mind to allow the sweet waters of truth to heal the unfertile thoughts of our mind. Amen. God's got a channel, amen, and through our deserts of her mind, a sweet water, the truth of the holiness of God, to bring fertility to our lives and to, amen, our countries and our churches, is when we realize that God is holy. Amen. When comforted with holiness, man is overwhelmed and can only tremble. Amen.
Yeah.
One of my favorite passages of scripture is Isaiah chapter number 6. Amen. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. Amen. I'm telling you something. I believe Uzziah fell. Amen. I believe he did something he should not have done. I believe God smote him with leprosy. Amen. I believe he died spiritually in the eyes of Uzziah. Amen. I'm telling you something. God sometimes lets things die in your eyes so you can see the Lord.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Amen. God's self-revelation is brought about by the personality of the Holy Spirit. Holy is the way God is. He does not conform to a standard, for God is the standard. Amen. He is absolute holiness. Amen. If you was to define God and look up the word holy, you'd have to see God there. He is holy. Amen. He defines holiness. Amen. If we destroy the influence of the Holy Spirit, we've destroyed any influence we'll have of who and what God is. Amen. Oh, he's holy. Holiness is the moral condition necessary to the health of the universe. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever thought about that? You ever thought about the reason we're in the shape we're in is because of unholiness?
Right.
Holiness brings about a healthy atmosphere. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Amen. Amen. Holiness is healthy. Amen. I'm telling you something. We live in a society, people eat up with methamphetamines. They're about big around as a beanpole. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. So unhealthy, so unfit. Amen. I'm telling you something. People be 25 years old and look like they're 55. Sin takes its toll on people. Amen. But holiness is healthy. Amen.
Amen.
The word holy means whole, perfect, pure, immaculate, and complete. Judgment, it is always a holy act of preservation. Amen. God is absolute holiness that knows no degrees. Amen. God can't be holier than he already is. God can't be less holier than he is. Amen. He's holy. Amen. He's a holiness without any degrees. Amen. You and I are holy. Amen. Only in accordance to how much Christ has his way in our lives. Amen. 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 And God did say, be ye holy therefore, for I am holy. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, I love that. Amen. God is absolute holiness that knows no degrees. We must hide our holiness in the wounds of Christ. We must hide our unholiness in the wounds of Christ. We must take refuge from God in God. And by acquaintances with the Spirit of holiness, we can acclimate our beings to His conformity. Amen. God just wants us to be holy. Amen. 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 I hate to shut her down. Amen. But I don't know what else to do. Amen. Four things that have changed your life. Tenderness, kindness, forgiveness, and holiness. It'll change your life if you learn to be kind one to another. Amen. Lord, I've did exactly what you told me to do tonight. You know my makeup. You know everything about me.
Amen. Thank God.
Make sure God's got my heart clean. Can I ask you how your kindness has been? How your tenderness is? How your forgiveness is? And how your holiness is? If you look at those four characteristics, you'll find out how close and how reverent you're living in light of the Holy Spirit of God. Very unusual nights this week. I just really feel like God is wanting a deeper walk. Amen. In the lives of you precious people. I'm telling you something. Kindness. Tenderness. Forgiveness. And holiness. Boy, some people live in prison. When God gives me that green light, I'm going to quit. Some people live in prison. That prison of unforgiveness. I've been there.
Me too, brother.
You say, preacher, can God deliver me from that unforgiveness in my heart? Oh, yes, He can. I've had Him do it. I tell this story at the church all the time. Years ago, there's some young preachers hurt my pastor. And then, I should be truthful with you, it made me very angry, made me very mad. I had a problem with it. And I'll never forget going to a meeting, Brother Milton Taylor was preaching. I brought a little fruit of green leaves, and you've heard me tell this, and he had fruit on it, and he'd pick the fruit off. He said, sometimes we deal with the fruit. He said, we don't ever get rid of the root. And I know it's simple. We've heard that. Boy, God dealt with my heart about that. And I got in the altar that morning. I told God, I said, I am not leaving here. And I meant it until you get this out of my heart. Amen. They had dismissed service and was going to eat lunch. And I was still in the altar because I meant what I said. But I can honestly tell you that God took it out of my heart. And it is never, it don't even bother me to talk about it. It's never bothered me again. I don't understand everything that God does in my mind. You perceive what you feel like you should have. It's hard. Sometimes you perceive in your mind how you think you should preach and how things should come out. And God will touch you. My throat was doing good till it got up here and then it locks down. But I'm telling you something right now. God may just want somebody tonight. You're living in prison of your own unforgiveness. And in my heart, I really feel like, even though the service has been like it is, I feel like God wants somebody tonight to get victory over your unforgiveness. I don't know what's going on. I don't know nothing. But I'm telling you something, there's a God in heaven that knows. One thing about unforgiveness, you'll sing with it in your mind.
Right.
You'll pray with it in your mind. You'll listen to preaching with it in your mind. You'll go to bed with it on your mind. Unforgiveness is a powerful thing that robs you of the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Where I pastor, I've got a little small white dove that sits on the pulpit. If you've been around me long enough, I tell this. When my mother died, it was one of her whatnots. And I said it there on the pulpit, and that's been 20 years ago this year, this October. Because I read that the Holy Spirit is like a small white dove that's easily scared away. And I've had that dove on the pulpit where I've pastored for probably 15 to 20 years. Because I want to be reminded when I'm standing there, look over there at that dove and be reminded that he's like a small white dove. It's easily scared away. What's in your heart? Kindness? Tenderness? Unforgiveness? Forgiveness? Holiness? I want us to bow our heads. I want to ask you, new beginning, will you be honest with God and honest with yourself? God knows how to orchestrate a service. Oh, yes, he does. And I feel frail in my body. And I feel